Most of us have a limited understanding of prayer.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's why we often live our lives as victims of our circumstances instead of rulers.
Prayer, when coupled with God's Word, brings heaven into history.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most Christians say we believe in prayer. Relatively few of us live like we believe it. Today, Dr. Evans reveals how that can change as he talks about why prayer is something we hear as well as say. Let's join him.
God has created you to rule. You have a sphere, a garden, if you will, that's yours to oversee on behalf of God. Satan does not want you to know your spiritual authority because then you just might exercise it. He doesn't mind you coming to church. He doesn't mind you reading your Bible or saying prayers or enjoying Christian music as long as you don't understand that that's authority you're supposed to use and not simply information you're supposed to capture. If we really understood the word that has been imparted into the new nature and allowed it to expand in the soul, the self-life would decrease. The spirit life would increase, and we would be living life out of another domain, not the domain of our everyday existence. There would be a supernatural aspect to our lives, allowing us to activate and exercise the legal authority we already possess if, in fact, we are believers in Jesus Christ. Closely linked to ruling through the Word is ruling through prayer. All of us have homes that are wired. This wiring is to transfer invisible power through the wires called electricity so that the things in our house that are designed to function electrically will work because the power is there to facilitate their responsibilities. God has wired a connection between heaven and earth. There is a wiring that is to connect the invisible realm with the visible realm, and that is called prayer. Prayer, when coupled with God's word, brings heaven into history. Many of us, most of us, have a limited understanding of prayer, proven by the fact that we do so little of it. Under the sound of my voice this morning are those who are frustrated at prayer. It's like going to a soda machine and putting your money in and not seeing anything come out. You wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and nothing comes out, and after a while you just move on because this machine doesn't work. For many of us, we have that feeling about prayer. We don't want to say it because it sounds so unspiritual. To not believe that such an important thing that we've heard about all of our lives seems to be something that doesn't work. I want to talk to us this morning about still your spiritual authority and how it connects to this thing called prayer. Now let's review. God has given mankind legal authority to execute his will in history. Let them rule. We will create man in our own image, and they will act on our behalf in the visible realm as we act in the invisible realm. Therefore, God created us like him so that we could communicate with him in order to exercise his will in history. Man was dubbed as his legal representative in history. God wanted to work on earth, but like invisible sound waves, he wanted to do it through a vehicle that was created to receive it. Just like your radio and your televisions take invisible waves and make them visible, or so that you can hear them, the sound waves are all around us, but without a radio, you can't hear it. You need something that can pick it up, capture it, and disclose it. And so God created man to be his visible physical representatives in history. I want to start by showing you a passage in the book of Ephesians before we go to our central passage in John, Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says this in verse 8, "To me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages have been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers, authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which is carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through him in faith." What I want to call your attention to is that Paul makes the statement that God, who created all things, wants to make known his mighty wisdom and purpose through his people, the church, and how God's rule is over all rule, all authority. It is over everything in heavenly places. He wants to show through his people that God rules and overrules. In other words, you're supposed to be ruling your world. And he says, with this rulership comes, in verse 12, he says, bold and confident access through faith in him. You and I are supposed to be able to go to the throne room of God and lay claim to our legal rights. Watch this now. Overruling any other rule that would seek to overrule us. We're supposed to be able to have bold and confident access, he says, into the presence of God, overruling the things that look like they're overruling you or overruling me, that will manifest the purposes of God. This access or prayer is designed to affect God's will in history. Prayer is not an extra thing you do. It's not something you throw in. It is absolutely essential because it is the, here it is, communication link between the visible and invisible world. God has said, there is a device I am wiring by which we will talk to each other. And that device is called prayer, because without it, there will be no communication. We will not be able to communicate if access is not utilized. It is the mechanism by which my will be activated in history. Adam was God's go-between. He was the one through whom God was going to carry out his will on earth. Remember, God has decided not to do his activity on earth apart from man. He has said, we're going to do it through man, and we're going to limit ourselves and not do it until they are ready to do it. So we can actually be holding back what God plans to do, wants to do, has decided to do, because we haven't connected to the doing of it. So we could be stopping God, not because we're more powerful than God, but because God has decided not to do certain things and most things until he's got a human person to do it through. So if you're not positioned for that to happen, then you could be delaying your authority. Let me give you an example of this in the Bible. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings 18, Elijah is been told by God, I'm going to make it stop raining for 3 years. And then at the end of the 3 years, I'm going to let it rain again. God tells Elijah what he's going to do. He says, this is my plan for it to rain for 3 years, and then it stopped for 3 years. That's my plan. So Elijah knew the plan of God. He knew the will of God. He knew the voice of God. I'll talk about that in a moment. He knew exactly what God wanted to do in history. But what God wanted to do in history, rain, had to come from heaven. So God told him, this is what we're going to do. But when you read the story in 1 Kings 18, guess what it says? It says, and Elijah prayed 7 times that it might rain. He prayed 7 times. Why the number 7? Because the number 7 is completion. That's the number of God completing something. He prayed 7 times it's going to rain. But wait a minute. If God already told him it's going to rain, why not just sit down and wait for it to rain? I mean, why do I have to pray if God's going to do what God's going to do anyway? Because God's not going to do what God's going to do anyway. God's going to do what God's going to do when he has a person to do it through. So you matter. And not until Elijah prayed and completed the prayer cycle 7 times did the rain come, even though God had already told him what his plan was. His plan in heaven included the communication on earth with man. And until that communication was complete, there would be no rain, even though that was God's plan. God has got some stuff hovering over you that he's been waiting to get done for years. It's been circling around you for years, but this plane won't land. Why won't this plane land if God says he wants to do it? Because he's waiting for you to complete your involvement. And if you don't complete your involvement, you can delay the purposes and plans of God for your life. Not because he doesn't have it, but because he wasn't getting the cooperation that he needs in order to deliver it. Because God has decided to work through man.
Well, Dr. Evans will be back with more in just a moment, including a look at how the power of prayer can pull heaven right down to earth. Now, today's lesson was part of a special compilation called The Power of Prayer. It includes lessons on making our prayers more productive, deepening our passion for spiritual things, getting more passionate when we pray, and much more. There's lots more material than we'll have time to present on the air, but you can get all 7 full-length messages in this collection as our way of saying thanks for your contribution of any amount toward the ministry of The Alternative. This is a limited-time offer, and we don't want you to miss out. So visit us today at tonyevans.org. Make your donation online and get your copy of The Power of Prayer. And when you do, don't forget to pick up a copy of Tony's brand new book called Praying Through the Names of God. It'll not only teach you about the deep meaning and significance behind the many names used to describe God in the Bible, you'll discover how they address all the situations we face in life. There are 300 specific prayers on 80 different names of God to get you started, along with room to write down your own thoughts and requests. So visit tonyevans.org today for information on getting a copy of Praying Through the Names of God, or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. I'll give our contact information again after Dr. Evans brings us the rest of today's message. Let's join him.
John is kind of like the favorite disciple. You know, we don't like to admit it, but in our families, we kind of have favorites, people that we, or kids that, you know, we're kind of a little maybe closer to, or maybe you're closer to one parent than the other, although you love both of them. Well, John is like Jesus's favorite. He describes himself as the one who leaned on Jesus's breast. That is, he would just rest his head on Jesus's chest. They were very intimate. So when you read the book of John, St. John, or his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you will read a lot of intimate language in that gospel and those epistles, because it is a very intimate relationship he has with Jesus Christ and is probably the closest of the disciples. Jesus is telling his disciples he's leaving. He wants them to know he's got to go about his father's business. He'd get ready to die, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven. So he leaves them some information. Chapter 14, Philip is having a discussion with Jesus. And Jesus tells him in verse 7, if you've known me, you would have known my father also. But from now on, you will know him and have seen him. Philip then raises the question, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. I know we've been hanging with you. We've been rolling with you for 3 years now. You getting ready to leave. Before you take off out of here, let us see the Father. Jesus then says to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now watch this. Philip is already saved. Philip is already on his way to heaven. Philip is already a Christian, to use our vernacular today. Yet Jesus says, have I been with you this long that you still don't know me? Point. It's possible to be a Christian and not know him. It's possible to be on your way to heaven and not recognize him on earth. Jesus has shown up around us many times, and we didn't recognize him. We didn't recognize his voice, and he was talking. We didn't recognize him sending somebody our way that was from him, but we didn't connect him to it, so we just thought it was somebody coming our way. Jesus has let us hear certain things, and we didn't. It is possible, like Philip, to be saved and not know him. He doesn't mean know him as Savior. He means know him intimately. Not be close to him, because Philip is already saved. Philip has been walking with him for a number of years. That leads Jesus into this discussion about intimacy. Jesus says in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father's in me, we're one. The words that I say to you, I speak not on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me, there's our word, abiding in me, does his works. He says, what I tell you, I only tell you because God told me to tell you. I don't talk the talk. I talk because he told me to tell you something. And I do what I do because he is doing it through me. The apostles and disciples never asked Jesus to teach them how to preach. They never asked Jesus, why don't you show us how to do that miracle stuff you do? They never asked Jesus, why don't you show us this, show us that? You know what they asked Jesus? Teach us to pray. Why of all the things Jesus did, did they only ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Because they knew there was something about his communication with God that got stuff done. And they said, we want in on that. The first thing Jesus says is, what I say and what I do does not come from me. It comes from another source. It comes from my Father. And the reason it comes from my Father is because me and my Father are one. In other words, we are intimate. You know how you can get so close to somebody you can finish their sentences? Because you know you've been hanging out with them and you gotten to know them and you can finish the sentence. Or you know what they're thinking. You can read their expressions. You know, because you've talked to them enough and know, you know their mood. You know the syllables. You know the ups and the downs. He says, I hear my Father. And what I do reflects my Father because I am, remember, Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam was supposed to represent God in history. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, perfectly represented God in history. He says, what I do, I don't just do. In fact, if you turn back a couple of pages to chapter 5, Jesus has just healed a man, and they're complaining about the fact that he healed the man. And Jesus says in chapter 5 of John, verse 19, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. What he is saying is this. I'm in such intimate contact with the Father that the Father shows me what he's up to. And when the Father shows me in the invisible realm what he's up to, I deliver it in the visible realm. All I do is find out what he's up to. I act that out in the visible realm so that what you see is what we were discussing. Now, let me tell you why this is big. Because Jesus Christ never wasted time. In other words, he would spend hours with God so that he would only have to spend a few minutes with people. He would spend hours with God, and then he would not have to pick and choose when it came to people. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? Maybe I should go over here. Maybe I should go over there. I don't know what to do. He was never in a I don't know what to do mode, because he was always finding out first what was happening up there, so that when he went to heal folk, he went to heal the people that God told him, that's who I'm healing today. So he went right to it. You know what we do? We spend hours with people because we've only spent a few minutes with God. So we are hit and miss in our decisions, hit and miss in our direction, because we don't know which one to do because we haven't heard what's happening up there. So we're not sure what to do down here. And he goes on to say this in the following verse. He says, because we love each other, it is our intimate relationship, he's going to do greater things. You say, okay, but that's Jesus. Stay with me here, back to chapter 14. Believe me, verse 11, that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. We are intertwined and interconnected, me and the Father. So the way God tells you what he's up to is by bringing thoughts to your mind, validating it usually with something from the word that may have nothing to do initially with what you were first thinking about, but he brings a thought to your mind that you know wasn't your thought. His thought becomes your thought. And you say, I don't know about what to do with this problem. God, this is a problem. I want to find out if anybody in the Bible had a problem like this, or what you say about problems like this. And we'll tell you how to do that. But I want to find out. So I begin to read and I begin to meditate, abiding. I begin to think on those passages. And all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, begins to move, and bing. Jesus says, when that happens and you ask in my name. My job is to represent you if you're representing me. So if you're representing me and ask in my name, because we've got this relationship, I can authorize the transaction. I give you legal right to do business in heaven.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the importance of getting a heavenly perspective through prayer. Now, if you keep losing that perspective because of problems and patterns you can't seem to break, make a point of picking up a copy of our current CD series called The Power of Prayer. It's a great way to dig deeper into what we've been learning, and it would make a great gift to share with your church. As I mentioned earlier, we'd like you to have it as our thank you gift when you support the work of The Alternative with a contribution of any size. So get in touch with us before this special offer runs out and make your request. You can get all the information and make your donation online at tonyevans.org, where you can learn about all of our resources, including Tony's new book, Praying Through the Names of God. You can also call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Relationship experts tell us we need to do more listening than talking. Well, tomorrow we'll have more from Dr. Evans on why that idea is even more true of our prayer lives. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.